When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for spending time at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, as we will finish out some more of our roll call here. And Elijah is in, Jeff Kochek's in, NASCAR Eric says, what's up? KG is in, Mike Babcock. Here from the green room to the stream yard at MD Babs on Twitter. Be sure to subscribe to Mike's biweekly newsletter with Hail Varsity and Herd at Sports at Mike B at herdatsports.com. Babbers, how we doing, man? Good to see you.
I'm doing okay. Taking notes as usual.
Well, your yard looks Masters green jacket beautiful as I drove by today, brother. I mean, that it is the envy of Randolph.
It is deceptive.
It is deceptive.
Just extremely deceptive.
Oh, it looks good. Looks nice and green, man.
I haven't even made it out for the first mow of the year. We're getting real close. Mike, have you made it through the first mow of the year yet?
Yeah, I've made it through the first couple of, actually, I've been out there a couple times.
Well, your lawn is clearly in better shape than mine, then.
Well, the weeds are chopped down. That's what we have to do.
I was driving by when Babbers was mowing, and Babbers had the look on his face that was similar to that of Nebraska fans on 3rd and 19 with an option quarterback having to drop back and throw.
Yeah, it's like I'm working out with weights trying to push that mower clogged up underneath.
I just know Mike's the guy that's out in the muscle shirt in the front yard showing off the guns to all the neighbors.
Yeah. Babbers had a Grateful Dead shirt on.
Being pushed backwards by the mower.
It was one of those blocking sleds. I like it. Mike, we'll get to some Husker baseball. And I want to get your thoughts here as we kind of predict tomorrow's headlines or sound bites. I'm anxious to hear from Coach Donnie Raiola for Nebraska, as he'll speak along with Coach Rule. But offensive line just has been grinding away. You've heard good things about Lutowski and Mazuka at the guard spot. You've got a couple of options at center, of course, with Scott back. Your tackles are experienced and healthy. Plus, you've got guys that have been able to get groomed a little bit, get watered, and not get thrown in too early. And that's my starting point as we get an update on the O-line. What do you think we hear, or what are you excited to kind of take in from Coach Donnie tomorrow about his group?
I'll be interested to see what he says. I don't get the impression that he's real enthusiastic about talking to reporters.
He is not.
More focused on what he does. But, you know, the thing that we always talk about, I mean, it starts up front, the offensive line. If you've got an offensive line that can be effective, that has implications for the quarterback, the running backs, the receivers, the whole thing. So it starts up front, and Nebraska has numbers. You know, Ben Hart has 41 starts. I think that ties the Jeremiah Searles probably for the school record. You've got, looks like Teddy Prohaska is healthy now. If he can stay healthy, you've got a couple of starting tackles right there, I think. You mentioned Mazuka. I think he's going to fit right in. Lutowski, Corcoran is a guy that can play just about anywhere on that line, I think. Ben Scott's got experience at center. And you've got guys that can back them up, you know, Gunnar Gatula, Hood. There are other guys that I'm not thinking of here, but I'm going to be interested to see, like you said, what Coach Raiola has to say about these guys, because I believe that this can be a really good offensive line. And if you can have a good offensive line, then it filters down and you feel good about the other other pieces of the puzzle on offense.
It's Mike Babcock with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. And Mike, whenever we talked with Jeremiah Searles yesterday, spent a lot of time talking about the skill positions, the added athleticism that he's seen out there from Naor and Banks and from a guy in Dowdell at the running back position. And I'm not saying that – I don't want to put words into Searles' mouth. So I'm not saying that he's more focused on the skill positions in the offensive line. That's not the kind of guy Searles is. I think that Searles understands offensive line is what makes your offense tick in football. But would you agree with that statement that the offensive line is what makes it tick? And what's your thoughts on the balance between following the skill positions this spring and into fall camp and following the offensive line? Which do you think is more important for where the Husker offense is at based on what you saw last season?
Well, I'm in the minority on this, I think, but I think the offensive line is what interests me. It usually does in the spring. You know, how does the offensive line develop? Because that has an effect on, you know, who your quarterback is, how successful that quarterback is. You know, the quarterback, then you got receivers. You got, can you have a running game? It affects everything. But on the other hand, I think that the general feeling is it's more exciting to say who's going to be the quarterback among these three guys that are competing for the job. Who's going to be the running back? Is Gabe Irvin going to be healthy? Can he step in there? Who are going to be the receivers? Because you're going to have some young guys and some transfers that are going to have important roles at receiver. It's probably more interesting for people because of what those players do. But their success depends on the offensive line, in my opinion, and that's why I pay attention to the offensive line.
As my old high school coaches used to say, the offensive line doesn't get into the newspaper. They're not the ones getting interviewed after the game, but they are the ones that get the skill position guys in the newspaper and interviewed.
You are the transporter. I like it. Babers, what do you like about this quarterback derby going on? Or do you believe there's a derby?
No, I think so. I like it. I like the fact that they've got, you know, the Rattlesnake Snake Boys and the Golden Knights and the Bug Eaters. You know, I didn't cover any of those teams, actually, despite what people might say. But no, I think they're getting reps, a lot of reps for each of the three guys. And that's how you evaluate. That's how you're going to make a determination on who the quarterback is going to be. You know, I'm leaning towards Raiola because of all the attention that he got when he was recruited, and then he changes his commitment from Georgia to Nebraska, signs a letter of intent. But, you know, don't count out Kalen. I don't count out Harburg because Harburg has some experience. He's a little bit different type quarterback than the other two. But I think that, again, getting those snaps, the number of snaps that they're all getting, reminds me of the time when I was covering Coach Osmer and he had like four stations. You know, guys were getting reps. It's important to get those reps, and those quarterbacks are getting them.
Mike, going to go to Husker baseball for a moment. A thought on last night. Any panic button for you with Husker baseball last couple of Tuesday ball games?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I was at the media availability today. I don't think that there's any feeling of that. It's frustrating, obviously, particularly for these midweek games. And you get a Kansas team that's 15-14 going into the game, and you score 11 runs. You figure, well, Nebraska's probably going to win that game. But you give up 13, and your pitching has a problem. That's a concern. For sure, but I don't. I didn't see any sense of panic there, and I think that obviously the focus is you got to win the big the conference games. That's the important thing, Rutgers. But I'd like to see them get some of these midweek games against teams that are decent. You know, they got Creighton coming up again next week, but you can't look past Rutgers right now. So no, I don't think there was any sense of panic whatsoever.
Do you worry about Nebraska's defense? It's not as strong as some past seasons. There's still plenty of season left, but there was, you know, a couple of instances last night where you give up 13 and what, we're talking 4-5 unearned runs last night in a slugfest type ball game?
Yeah. Well, development, you know, you're going to get better. And I think that's part of what you have to look at. But yeah, you don't want to give up on runs, obviously. And you don't want to give up runs by walking guys and putting them on base in that way. And, you know, that can be a concern. But, you know, feel good about Friday night when Brett Sears is on the mound, because he's walked 55 and a third innings. He's walked 9. And, you know, he got the in National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association National Player of the Week Award for an effort in which he gave up 2 singles and didn't walk anybody and struck out 10. That's the standard that you have to look at. But Nebraska has that.
It really feels like Nebraska has a guy in Sears that reminds you of what they had in Cade Povich a couple of years ago. I know Povich, I believe, was a Sunday guy by the end of the season, but it really feels like they have that guy that you can just turn to and say, you know what, with this guy on the mound, we can expect 6 to 7 innings of 2 or 3 run baseball, maybe even less. Put yourself in a really good chance to win. It feels like they have that guy in Brett Sears. Obviously, I don't want to anoint him too soon with the almost entirety of the Big Ten slate coming up, but that is what it feels like Nebraska has, and a team that gave Arkansas all they could handle in a regional. So I think that's a positive sign.
Mike.
Yeah, he's 6-0 with a 1.14 ERA. I mean, that's best ERA in the conference, and by far could be going against the second best in ERA in the conference, Rinaldi at Rutgers.
Going to be big weekend series. Babbage, we laid out the lineup here of aging stars. Who gets the next championship of some of the blue bloods of college football?
Well, actually, first, Mike, I need to get your thoughts. Is Georgia a blue blood?
I would say moving in that direction, but not there, probably.
Okay. Right.
Over time, in my way of thinking. But everything is in the present now, and people would look at that and say, well, yeah, Georgia is because of what it did.
About a minute here, Babbers, but what blue blood do you think gets the next national championship in this playoff era? And there's been a lot of teams that you know that even find their way to the playoffs that are on a long drought.
You guys mentioned the two that I would think, Texas and Ohio State. You know, Texas is Texas, gets a lot of publicity. It's a top, you know, even when Texas is not quite as good as it usually is, it still gets a lot of attention. But I think either Texas or Ohio State gets a championship at some point. And probably I'm going to say Texas.
If they don't, it's U-Haul time. It's free money to go away.
Babbage, yeah, boy, there's a lot of money there.
Uh-huh, both spots. Mike Babcock with Hail Varsity and Herd at Sports at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, will check in next week. Thank you much.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Mike Babcock with us. Hail Varsity continues, powered by Cornhead Lager.